The path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
Have you ever had one of those times where you've just been having a wonderful day with your partner? You're enjoying the sun. You're enjoying each other's company. You're doing those favorite things that you always like. And then something happens. And whether it's a word or a subject, and all of a sudden, all of that wonderful day goes down the tube in an instant. We're calling that the runaway train. Have you ever had one of those experiences? I know I have, and Jack could probably tell you there's more than a few. But today, our guests, Marilyn Huff and Chuck Schmidt, regulars and friends of the show, the relationship specialists, are here to help us just derail that runaway train and get our relationship and our day back in line. Marilyn and Chuck, welcome back to the show. Hello?
Hi.
Are you there?
You thought we were going to keep going, huh? It's good to be here with you again.
So glad you're here. So the runaway train is left the station and there's no way to stop. Why is it that we have these wonderful times, but in an instant, something simple can truly derail us? What happens?
Oh, you're pointing at me? What happens? Good question. I think sometimes, depending on our frame of reference for our life, the littlest thing, like Chuck and I have gone out for wonderful days and spent a whole day laughing and having fun and come home and I don't know. I can say, what do you want for dinner? Or I can see, a dirty dish on the sink and all of a sudden just go into that space and focus on that instead of the good time, which is crazy, but it can turn your whole day upside down. And I think we're just used to it. I think sometimes we're used to focusing on what isn't working instead of what is working and makes us happy. And it can just derail our entire day. That's my experience.
As you're talking about that, it's really funny because in the article that you wrote for the magazine, Step Away from the Runaway Train, How to Maintain a Loving Relationship, we truly do tend to focus on the little things that don't work instead of all the big things that are. And there's got to be a reason why we hook on to what doesn't work. Like, as you say, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
Well, that's one of the main things that we had in our article, and it's that everybody has an internal frame of reference or a set point. It's just like a thermostat. When you set the thermostat to 70 degrees and then it goes down to 68 or 67, it kicks back in and takes it back up again. Or if you set it for 65 or 64 or even lower for sleeping at nighttime during the summer, and then it gets there and then starts to creep up again, then it takes it back down. Everybody has a set point. You know that you've met really happy people.
I'm one.
I was just going to pay you a compliment and you jumped in too soon. I was going to say I have the pleasure of living with one and being married to one. She's one of the happiest people around. My set point is a little bit lower. And so I'm always having to kind of pull myself up or be very aware of what's going on. And I think that that's really a very important point, awareness. You have to be aware, first of all, where your set point is. Are you happy or not so happy, glass half full, glass half empty? And then do you want to and can you pull yourself back up? You want to say something, Marilyn, on that?
Well, I'm thinking that I guess I have the attitude that I like being happy and I like the feelings I have and I like attracting to myself from that perspective because I think everyone attracts to themselves from the place that they operate. So if I'm happy and I'm thinking happy, flourishing, abundant thoughts, I'm going to attract more of those things to my life in all areas, be it relationship or finances or new friends, I'm going to attract that. If you're a grumpy person and you see the cup kind of half empty and you're looking at I don't know, the dirty street or the noise in the neighborhood because they're building instead of, wow, look at that gorgeous greenery that they put up around the parking lot, then you're going to always be upset and have something to complain about. And I think that's a huge difference in just the way people operate in the world. So if you can get your thoughts more to what do I want and what keeps me happy, then your relationship also is going to be happier. If I'm focusing on how much I love Chuck and what I love about him and all the good times we have and how he makes me feel, I'm going to be pretty happy. If I'm focusing on the dishes in the sink or, you know, that he didn't mow the lawn that we don't have, then I'm going to be upset all the time. I mean, and people do that. They focus on the thing that upsets them, so they keep getting more and more of it instead of focusing on what they love about each other and getting more of that and enhancing that in ways that make them happy.
Well, let me ask a question, because as I'm sitting here listening to the two of you, and I know you well, mm-hmm. and you know Jack and I well, mm-hmm. and I know that this happens, is the one person that tends to stay up and happy and positive more often, almost to a certain degree, walks on eggshells with the person who isn't because you're afraid to set them off. How do you get around that?
Wow, that is... Do you want to answer that, Chuck, or do you want...
Well, you can start. I'll chime in.
I just think that is so such an interesting question. Chuck and I talk about that a lot. And for the two of us, I don't walk on eggshells very much. I will test his mood by looking at it, but years and years ago... When we first met, I'm very sensitive, as is Chuck, and so I would know if I walked in a room whether he was upset or not. And I would take it personally, like, oh, he's upset, what did I do? And I'd go through my list of, you know, did I not do this, or did I talk too loud, or whatever. And I'd think it was me, and I'd always want to fix it. What's wrong, honey? What's going on? I don't do that anymore, because he taught me year one, if I'm in a bad mood, it has nothing to do with you. I need you to stay happy and stay in your happy place. And if you keep your attention away from me and how upset I am and keep trying to fix me, then I will get out of my dark mood faster.
Oh, now that's an interesting point.
It is, because I remember one instance very early on. When something was happening and I was upstairs and we had kind of a balcony that looked downstairs and something was said, and in past relationships, I would have gone, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And there was no indication at all from her that anything had happened. So she took care of it internally. And then it took a while, but as we talked about it and as we worked on it, I noticed that she made a point of not trying to even address my bad mood. She would just let me be. And if there was something I needed to say, it was my responsibility to say it. And that gave me the freedom just to take time and figure out what was going on. And I believe, and she can either back me up or not, that I've really calmed down, because I've seen that it's not ratcheted up anymore. It's actually cooled down. What do you think?
I think that's very true. I think Chuck, because of his past relationships, was very sensitive to angry women. And I'm not an angry person. I don't get angry a lot. And so he kept expecting any time anything would come up that I was going to get angry and outrageous, and I don't. But it took him, I'd say, more than a year.
No, it took me a few.
Yeah, to realize that this really was who I was, and I wasn't going to get angry and scream and yell and holler, because that's just not who I am. It's a waste of energy to me. I just don't see the point. I really don't, but that's just me. A lot of people aren't that way.
Well, what do you say to the person, though, and the dynamics are different for every relationship, and we know that. But the person that decides to find fault literally with everything, so if they're having a bad day, they're going to blame the other person.
Right.
How do you, as the person being blamed, how do you deal with that?
Well, we kind of ask ourselves one question, and we teach this to all the people that come in to see us. And the question is, would you rather be right or would you rather be loving? And that means you can either stand your ground and, you know, insist that your position is the correct one, the only one, your partner needs to agree with it, or you can decide that being happy in a relationship, in your relationship, is more important. And in just having that question in your mind, it kind of gives you a pause. And this is, again, all about awareness. If you don't have awareness that you're a grumpy person, or if you don't have awareness that you've gone into a bad mood, there's nothing you can do. So we first put out this question so that they can maybe remember it. And then if they ask it, the answer might still be, oh, I want to be right. But eventually, they will focus on being loving. And this has really helped us a lot.
Well, I also think that there's some individual growth that has to happen, because I think there's a decision that we all make at some point, hopefully with awareness, that I want to be happy. And some of these things that are making me unhappy, I have to make a choice whether I want to keep focusing on them or not. Like I said, it's like where we live here is just, you know, the most beautiful area. And there are people that are very, very upset about, like, building that's going on in the area, and oh, it's so noisy, or oh, this traffic's going to get heavier, or oh, that. And I mean, you can choose to focus on that and just be grumpy and miserable continually and then move and have the same thing happen wherever you move, or you can say, oh my gosh, this is the most incredible area. There's always fresh flowers and green trees, and we have, you know, new seasons right here to shop and walk, and great neighbors. And it's like, I think you have to make this individual choice what you want out of life, and then do the same thing with your relationship. So if Chuck were a grumpy person, which he isn't, I mean, I could sit here and say, okay, I can continue to live with him and walk on eggshells, or I can say, gee, the parts of our relationship that are good are so good, when we get in some stupid argument, I can look at him and say, you know, we've been having such a great day. Let's just freeze and recognize this upset is a moment in time and let it go, deal with it tomorrow or something, but continue on with the good stuff, because I don't want to bring myself down.
That's a good point, the freeze, the moment in time. We were listening to a lecture recently, and the way that they described it was, it's a snapshot in time. It's like you're taking one picture out of a relationship, and our relationship is 21 years old now, and when we're taking one picture, that represents, what, 5 minutes of 21 years? So if you look at it from that perspective, it's just a minuscule part of your relationship. Unfortunately, a lot of people, and that could be the people that are grumpy or look at the glass half full, they look at it as this is a reflection on our whole relationship, and now our whole relationship is broken. That's faulty thinking. That's not a true statement.
Yeah, so that would be the, you're having a great day and something happens, and instead of looking at the great day, the minute something happens, you say, oh my God, our relationship's over. I don't even know how we made it this long. What are we doing together? You know, and you hear those arguments all the time from people.
It is amazing, because I hear them, and I know you do in your practice. It is a broad brush of, let's just paint everything that's bad. It's literally like throwing acetone on the picture and expecting it all to turn out beautiful.
Yes.
And it's not, because you're not in the right place for it to be. And I want to go back just a minute, because I heard you say, you know, you make this choice. Do you want to be right or do you want to be loving? And so many times what I'll hear people say is, I want to be both.
Yeah.
And they have to get out of that place. And it truly is a place of ego. You want everything your way, but there's two people in this relationship. How important is it to you?
Well, and what's right? I mean, what's right to you might not be right to me. We're two individuals, so I might have an opinion that's diametrically opposed to you. Does that mean I'm wrong?
And some people are going to say, yes.
Yes.
And you go, okay, well, then perhaps we have some greater issues here that are fundamental, if you believe that every position you have is the one that's right. And
well,
this whole argument of right or wrong is very divisive in a relationship.
Well, and the things that you're arguing about that you're so adamant that you're right are really little things normally. They're not like fundamental values that you have. You're arguing about, you know, which car to buy or which way to turn on a, I mean, the things that people get in big arguments about are like, I told you should have turned left instead of right, or this was the right, you know, they're not arguing about big fundamental values in their life. That's different. They're arguing about little frustrations that have built up over time.
But one of the things that we've noticed too is that those little frustrations come out because there's some bigger underlying issue that they're not discussing. And so that might really be the answer to your question, Cheryl. How do the people that continually choose to want to be right, what is driving them to do that? What makes their self-esteem or self-importance rely on being right? Because compromises and mediations and meeting in the middle happen all the time. Why does this one person have to be right all the time? And that takes a lot of soul searching. And there are some people who have a hard time doing it. There are some people who have an easier time doing it. Some people need help, and some people will never do it at all. And that might be a question that you would ask a partner if you feel that they're kind of stuck in that. Do you want to find out why you always need to be right? And I don't know the answer to that.
Well, that's a really interesting and a very big question, because if you're in a relationship where you're in that place where right or wrong, you have to be right and you have to make the other person wrong, you're right. You have a bigger issue with the relationship than just whether or not, you know, a phrase or an incident that was isolated turned south.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big control issue. You need to control your environment, and that would play across the board. It would be in your relationship. It would be in your work. It would be with your friendships. You feel like this need to have everything just so to fit in your world. Otherwise, you might crumble. It might crumble. And that's what happens when people need to be in control and need to be right. That is a huge issue, but it's something that you work on to learn to build safety in your life, so that you can see that little things cannot be exactly as you thought they needed to be, and you're still safe. And once you start getting that sense, you can start changing that.
Yeah, baby steps. Just take some chances and let some things go and see how they turn out. I would imagine your partner would be very happy that you weren't arguing with them all the time.
Yeah.
So if we've got a situation that we're talking about here that, you know, everything has been going just so well, and you see this point where it's about to turn, what are just a couple of things that we can be doing to stop it quickly in its tracks?
Well, even before that, you can start to become aware of your tendency to accept that into your life. So we're speaking a lot about awareness, and you have to know these things can happen and are happening before you can do anything about it. If you don't know it's happening, if it's just kind of unconscious, there's nothing you can do. So it might be a conversation between you and your partner about, do I have this tendency? Do you have this tendency? What do we do? Do you want to change it? And kind of build up the awareness that it does happen.
Yeah, so Chuck and I will say, like, we teach people this term we call ouch. So if something's going, you're going along and your day's going fine, and say, like, I use that stupid example where I walk in the house and see dishes in the sink and it makes me upset, and I can start to get upset about it, or he can make he can say something that I find offensive, and I can just look at him and say, ouch. And that way you're not getting in a big argument or anything, but you're pointing out, you just did something that hurt my feelings. So the other person hopefully will have the awareness to step back and say, what did I just say or do? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't intend to upset you. I was making a joke or whatever.
But on the other thing, too, that's not always a person hurting someone. That might be just a perception that they hurt them. And the other person, instead of saying, I'm sorry, they can say, what just happened? And then the person can say, well, I took it personally or it hurt. And the person can say, that's not how I meant it at all. This is how I meant it, because people run experiences through that
filter.
Set point, the filter, mm-hmm. and yeah. they can run it through kind of a lower feeling filter and go, oh, that was a bad statement, and the other person can run it through something that feels a little bit better and say, that's not what I meant at all.
Right. But if they do, if it does get out of hand, Cheryl, if it is like you start an argument or something, you can just, we teach our clients to do a timeout. And basically we do it with a signal. It's like, you know, like a, in a baseball game or a football game where you do the hand signal timeout.
Sure.
And have people separate, because you can't, you know, it's that Einstein quote, you can't fix something in the same place where it was created, the same energy. Whatever that quote is.
The same level of consciousness.
Yeah, same level. So it's like you do a timeout, and the idea there is just stop that action right there, because you're not gonna have an argument and have it end well. You've got to stop that particular energy, and we have people separate for at least 20 minutes, because it's a physiological fact that you need at least 20 minutes to calm your body down, your blood pressure, your pulse and all that. And while they're gone, usually when people separate, they get into, you know, they have negative thinking, like, why was I in this relationship in the first place? This is never going to work. I can't stand him. He's so blah, blah, blah. And instead we tell people, okay, you're going to separate, but this is going to be different. First, you're going to think about what your partner was trying to tell you, because there's no energy around it, right? Second, you're going to think about what you did to escalate that argument or disagreement. And then third, you're going to think about thoughts that make you happy, hopefully coming back to thoughts about your partner. But you can start with, I love the sunshine, or I love the beach, or I like walking my dog, or whatever it is, and then hopefully get back to loving thoughts about your partner. And then come back together and have a discussion, and it'll be from a totally different place, so that you can end that disagreement without trying to solve it in the heat of the moment.
And one more thing to do that, what was my partner trying to tell me? What was my part in escalating this disagreement? But what brings me joy? Instead of thinking about the sunshine or your pet or something, you can take it to a kind of a higher level and say, in your mind, I love you enough, I love me enough, I love our relationship enough not to continue down this negative path. So I'm going to ask you for, you can actually say this out loud too, I'm going to ask you to take 30 minutes so that we can just go and mm-hmm. kind of figure out what we did and come back and discuss it. And these are all things that they're simple, but they're not necessarily easy, because you really have to overcome yourself. You have to overcome all those churning feelings that you have inside of yourself. It takes go ahead.
Sure. No, and if the relationship is what's truly important to you, taking that time out is something that's helping you both. Because it really is. Like you say, you're changing and you're going to a different place of consciousness. And I like, and I know you two have heard this phrase before, is you say to your partner, you're my best friend. I love you. I don't want to fight with you. So let's take this time out and see how we can turn this around. I think that's great advice. And it's really simple. And I love the fact that you both come from this philosophy, is let's come from a loving place, not a place of good or bad, me or you. This is about us, and let's lead with love. That's exactly Absolutely. What you advise.
Absolutely.
And that works really well.
Yes, it does.
There's one thing for sure. We were talking in the beginning about how two people can have a different set point. And one thing is really for sure, the momentum that you get going will build in whatever direction you choose to focus. So if you choose to focus on the negative, it's going to build in that direction. But if you switch and use some of these things that we've been talking about, the momentum will change and it will build in the other direction, which is what we're always talking about.
Right. Build momentum in the direction that we're going.
Yeah.
In the positive place, in the positive areas that you want to go. And that's wonderful. Well, believe it or not, our time has been flying by here. So before we head out the door, just if you can tell everyone, all right, there's a lot of wonderful things on your website. Tell people how to reach you and how to learn more about the relationship specialists.
Well, the relationship specialists we have a website called relationshipspecialists.com, and we have a really cool Facebook page where we give some suggestion like this every day, and it's facebook.com/therelationshipspecialists. And then Marilyn created a course with somebody that maybe she wants to talk about.
We have so many names for that course, Cheryl. What is it?
It's okay.
You're awesome.
Ease out, you're awesome.
Thriving after divorce, I think.
Well, wonderful. Marilyn and Chuck, thanks for being here today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks,
Cheryl.
It's been wonderful as usual.
Let's do it again.
Thank you. Well, everyone, thanks for being here with us today. Our guests again, Marilyn Huff and Chuck Schmidt, the relationship specialist. And join me next week when we're going to welcome Dave Frasilli from Holistic Health and Fitness. And we're going to talk about the building blocks of health. See you next week.